Okay, I believe we're all here. Yep, and quorum. Okay. This meeting is being recorded. This is the Netherland Fire Protection District Board of Directors special meeting for September 30th, 2020, to discuss operational issues. Start with the roll call. Ian Urban Powell, I am present. Patrick Richardson.
Present.
Todd Weisler.
Present.
Ray Willis. Ray, you with us? You may be muted.
All right, I think.
There you go. You're good. For the record, guys. Are you present, Ray?
Oh, yeah. Present.
Okay. Henry is absent. He's traveling, working. Chief Dare is absent. We have board quorum to call the meeting to order 19. going to make a motion to approve the meeting agenda. There were some late changes that came in today, which were some costs for the cascade system, a query about public education policy, a request from the chief for a payout of vacation time, and we need to create a new resolution for check signing as well. Other than that, the agenda was as posted to you all yesterday. So a motion that we approve the agenda. Do I get a second?
So moved.
And then Todd and Patrick, are you happy with the agenda?
Yes.
I haven't brought the minutes forward in the previous meetings. They are done. I just didn't have them ready in time for this meeting again. Have we got any public statements or comments? I will take that as a no. This is a special meeting, so we have no treasurer's report this evening. So I'll move straight into the operational report, starting with the bad news and moving through to the good news. So on the cascade system, I spoke to Ryan this week. There was a lot of going backwards and forwards with the manufacturer or with the maintenance company about which parts might need replacing, which model of cascade we have, etc. But they came back to us. So the carbon monoxide sensor says it needs replacing. That's a $1,400 plus labor cost. And then we believe that the door interlock valve, which holds the door closed while you fill cylinders, is the root of the problem that we have, and that's 210 plus labor. So that looks like that's coming in probably close to $2,000 to get those two things repaired, plus whatever they may find when they come and look at it. Ryan was also looking into replacement costs for the cascade to see where that fell. But I think my recommendation for the moment is that we either go ahead and do what needs to be done, particularly the CO sensor, that we do not want to be filling cylinders with carbon monoxide. and at the minimum have the maintenance company come up and at least look at the unit and tell us what they think and give us an estimate on costs. So that alone would probably be a $500 charge. So we're $2,000 to $500. What's the opinions?
Yeah, Ian, it's Ryan. So yeah, I've been working with them, and part of the difficulty is the Cascade system is 22 years old.
Okay.
Working, but we're having running into trouble getting parts. It's just that old.
Right.
So, and parts are super, super expensive. So I sent a request out to one of our vendors just to get a ballpark idea of what a new one has cost. I mean, it would have to be grant funded, but it might be something for long range planning, because I'm sure it's $50,000, $60,000 at least. So, but getting these parts, it's been kind of tricky because, you know, these guys are asking me technical details and I honestly have no clue.
Yeah,
what they're asking. So it's just going to take a trip charge for somebody that knows what they're doing to come up here and look at it.
Okay, so your feel is that we need somebody to just come and look at it first and then take it from there?
I'm getting them as close as I can, but I think it's going to wind up being two trip charges, just like, you know, getting your refrigerator repaired. Guy comes up, figures out what's wrong, drives back down, orders the parts, comes back up another day and actually installs them.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, when was the last time we actually had the Cascade serviced and inspected?
I have no knowledge of that ever being done.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been done either.
Okay, so based on that, I would recommend that we have at least an inspection done on it. And figure out if we can get it repaired and then take it from there. It's a minimum. I think we should be prepared for, it's going to be a minimum, both it's two trips. I would say a minimum of $3,000. If we do need repairs on it, if we can get the repairs done.
Again, this is Ryan, you know, just based on that we haven't had this thing serviced in my memory or Charlie's memory, which puts it out 11 years, having them up to determine if this thing is even serviceable for the future is going to help with budget preparation for the next couple years.
Yeah.
So we just kind of assume that everything's okay. Now's the time we should be planning for the future to replace it if needed, or get it repaired and say we can limp along with it for 5 years and we'll work on it in a 5-year plan.
I would agree with that.
But look like we got repaired. Much of a choice.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right. You may as well throw it out in the garbage if you're not going to repair it.
Yeah, it's kind of a fundamental piece of equipment, really. So, okay. Get an assessment of it. So let's get a maintenance engineer up to take it out and tell us what they think. Ryan, can you sort that out for us, please?
Yes, I'll get it in motion on Monday.
Okay. Sounds good. Other operational items, Dan did CPR renewals for 4 members on Saturday afternoon, which was really good. I'd like to thank Dan for doing that. It was a very good refresher for everybody. Also, we got the new med kits in service, and while we were doing the CPR renewals, we had a look through those. They got a general vote of approval. We've merged the Advanced Life and Basic Life Services kits into one kit. So you only have to take one bag in on a call. They convert to backpacks so that you can take them backcountry if you need to.
What's the general feedback been from the staff and the volunteers?
From the volunteers on Saturday, it's very positive. They like the layout. They like the bags. They liked the idea of just having to only pick up one kit or two kits if you're taking airway with you. The general feedback was, yeah, basically one person could pick up both kits and the monitor and get in the door. And you'd have everything you'd need to do everything. So
good.
Seems the feedback was pretty good on there.
Good.
Yeah, I think it needs a little tweaking. I tweaked a little bit and Dan did a little tweaking. But I mean, I think it's getting there. I think one of the big things that we had that, double D or whatever that is in there. And I moved it to the carbon bottles and that made a huge difference.
Yeah. And I think that's
there's a little bit, there's a little more work I want to do with, pediatric supplies and stuff like that. But I think we're in a good direction.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, good work on those. I think it's a good direction for us to go in. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Patrick and Charlie taught a vehicle extrication class on Saturday. Charlie spent some time turning cars over and rolling them into each other, which I'm sure was much more fun than it should have been for him. But thank you for doing that. Patrick, thank you for teaching that class. There was a lot of different scenarios that we wouldn't normally do. So it wasn't just a cut the roof off, cut the doors off kind of class. We all learned a lot of new skills. It was time incredibly well spent and the kind of training that I'd really like to see us do more of. So thank both of you guys for that. Are there any other operational updates from the shift officers on the call? Okay.
Ian, there was, there's a couple things that I don't really know where it fits in, but so exhaust system stuff. We have 5631. Is a new vehicle that the exhaust system doesn't fit on, and 5617 also has no setup for the exhaust system. So I don't know if that's something that we want to look at for the budget for this year, next year, to adapt the Netterman system to those. And then the other thing was the garage door on 5617, about 80% of the time you have to hang on the door while closing the door. And this has been something that's been going on for quite a while. Me and Rick worked on it probably a year ago and that anywhere. I think that's something that we look at for the future as well.
Okay. Can you get costs on that, and then we can put them in the budget, and we can also look at end of year, beginning of year, to see how that.
Yep.
We might have to do that. Yep. Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, moving on to new business. Due to a technicality in our check signing process, we need to. Do a new resolution for check signing.
Okay, because he always calls you first.
We'll all need to go to the bank and re-sign all the documents again, unfortunately. So this is basically just an update in resolution 2020-04. So whereas the Netherlands Fire Protection District maintains a checking account at citywide banks of Netherlands to pay operating expenses and clear debts. Whereas the Board of Directors of the Netherlands Fire Protection District hereby designates those individuals in the following positions to sign Netherlands Fire Protection District checks. That would be Ian Irwin Powell, President, Patrick Richardson, Vice President, Todd Weisler, Treasurer, Ray Willis, Secretary, Philip Durr, Fire Chief. Whereas it is resolved that two signatures are required for all checks, whereas the individuals in the positions designated as check signers may change from time to time by further resolution. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Board of Directors of the Nederland Fire Protection District adopts this resolution for signing and endorsing checks as the instrument to set forth those authorized to sign checks as names and offices of duly elected or employed individuals. Dated this day, 30th September 2020. You make the motion that we pass this resolution so that we can operate and pay bills.
So moved.
Ian, can I comment real quick? It's Ryan. Sorry, I'm getting a lot of feedback, but talking with Jim, is there any way, because I guess there's like really old signers still authorized, like Amy Bayless, going back that far?
This resolution, previous resolution, canceled all of those out.
Okay, just wanted to bring it up because Jim mentioned that, and I've run into that with other stuff, that there's really, really old signers.
So going back to the resolution. Patrick, can you go to adopt the resolution for
us? Well, it's my
feature. Ray, can you mute, please? Getting a lot of feedback from you.
Did you motion, Ian?
I did.
Did you move? Okay.
So just
wait a second. Okay.
Yeah. You and Patrick to vote on the adoption.
Yes, I'm good.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. It does mean that we all need to go back to the bank and sign all the documents again.
Will they be ready tomorrow? Or are they
I will
expecting to see us?
I will drop this off tomorrow and find out and let you know when they'll be ready.
Okay.
I did speak to the bank today and say I was dropping this off, so hopefully they're preparing it now. They know who's going to be on there. So.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. I've had a request. But we had a request come in for a 3-day three-day mission to the Cameron Peak Fire. So one vehicle, two personnel, Friday through Sunday. Ryan was interested in doing that. It's his days off. It would mean taking 5632 was the intention out of district to do it. I'm sort of on the fence. Any opinions from the board as to whether we would like for this to happen?
I assume that the truck's in good shape, equipped properly, and is in good running order.
As far as
I went through it this afternoon, and it's fine. You know, it meets all the NWCG standards. Good to go. It's already listed in IROC, so it's set.
And what do we have that, what's the hourly rate on that rig, on your SURF form?
$73 an hour with, I believe it's like a 592 minimum guarantee, whatever 73 times 8 is. I can't do the math in my head.
Okay.
Looking at weather on Saturday, and it doesn't appear to be terribly warm up here. I don't know what the relative humidity is going to be and what our wind conditions are going to be. Do you have, Ryan, another firefighter lined up from Nederland to go with you? And do you have a third firefighter?
Nope. I have a second, Joslin, you know, which meets the minimum NWCG. Yep. Cleared it with Tony, and he's okay with us rolling out with two because it's a single cab. You really can't get much more in there.
So, I guess my biggest hang up is not necessarily the weather, because it will be cooler this weekend, and RH should probably come up a bit with that. It's not sending the truck. My biggest concern is sending a truck with two. Is there any way you can find another qualified firefighter, whether it's similar to what Timberline does, from another agency? I think we can all agree that ideally we wouldn't be staffing a truck to go fight a fire with two people, just from the safety standpoint.
Yeah, I reached out to like Femmer and Timberline, and they're already rolling their own trucks out to Cameron Peak for this surge. So two is about all I can get right now.
That's the one thing I have a hang up on.
Okay. Just as an additional, Rick Henriksen is back in district this evening, so he's around this weekend to backfill for Ryan in case we have something else come up, but obviously we have a piece of equipment down.
I'm okay with the 72 hours without.
Well, he's friendly. I don't know what else to say, but he's friendly.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I'm okay with the 72 hours without extending, but I would really, I prefer three people. Okay. You basically have one person to run a pump and the company officer's in on the end of a hose line. Ultimately, you would be stretching it thin with three people, but two is I get it, and I understand what the criteria is and what the minimum standards are, but I don't know. Would Henriksen, would he go with you? Have you asked him? Is he interested?
He gets back tomorrow, so I'm pretty sure that he's not going to be willing to turn around and roll again in 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd rather have him in the area so we can backfill that paramedic slot.
You know, it's just an opportunity to get Joslyn a little bit of experience going up there. And, you know, this fire has been going on for quite a while, as we all know. But my basic take is if we're showing up, you know, light as a type six, we're probably going to be staffed and not placed in some of the hottest areas. I mean, if I was task force or strike team up there, you know, I had a short engine, yeah, I'd be kind of hesitate to commit them into the true hotspots. But this request came from the state, not the feds. And I guess they're just having trouble filling spots, period. So they're just trying to plug holes when they think intensity is going to be good. So this is about the fourth request we've gotten. We've turned down the other three. But they're asking for these short assignments on a pretty regular basis this year.
What's the likelihood that another person could get picked up after you arrive on, you know, at the fire to give you three on your crew with the truck?
Not likely. And also not this likely. Truck seats two. It's not a extended cab. It's not an extra cab. It's tight.
Right. Gotcha.
Like I said, I think, you know, on one hand, we like to play the safety card, and I don't mind playing the safety card. I'll do it all day long. But we're really, in my mind, I get it. Two's the NWCG standard, the minimum. But if we're going to scream safety on one hand of equipment, then we need to scream safety on the other hand of divisional labor and capacity to actually not only fight fire, but also manage the people. So the company officer is not necessarily engaged in direct fire suppression with two people, that company officer, that's all they're doing. And that's certainly not ideal in any way. I'm not saying no, I'm saying that I have some issue with that. I have a lot of issue with that. And the, you know, the Forest Service rigs, first models, they were all standard cabs. About a little over a decade ago, they started going to crew cabs. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying no, but I'm taking a lot of issue with sending two people to a working fire. We had our engine out there last weekend, and the three guys worked 31 hours straight, and they were engaged in firefighting the entire time. So there's a good chance that you'll get great experience, no doubt. With that said, we're cutting it awfully thin with two guys. And I'm not asking you to drive to California in that standard cab truck. You're going up to Fort Collins. So if you can find a third, I would not have any hesitation.
I'll mute myself. I understand that position. That makes sense.
I think Ray was trying to say something and he was muted.
Oh, sorry, let me unmute. Sorry, Ray, did you have something?
Yeah, I think I have to agree.
With Patrick?
Yes.
So you're both okay if we could make that three people, that would be acceptable to you?
Me or Ray?
Both of you.
Means safety is foremost.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a no. That's a no because I don't have a third, and we had to give them an answer tonight. So I've asked.
Okay. Alrighty. So that's a no, unfortunately.
All right. I got to go. Let Tony know because you kind of had us in a holding pattern.
Okay. Thank you, Ryan. Sorry about that. But I do appreciate the safety aspect of that. And maybe that's something we can discuss and figure out how we can make that work another time. Okay. Moving on. I'm going to jump down and jump back just to be annoying. Our EMS grant for our LifePak 15s, we got the complete contract back for that. So we now have a purchase order for those for two LifePaks. Ryan just dropped off, but I think I understand the facts on this. So we have to buy both of those by June of next year. My suggestion, given our current budget situation, is that we hold off fulfilling that contract. So we have a couple of choices here, which is we buy one now and one next year, or we buy both next year. Or look at our budget at the end of the year and see what goes on. That will free up nearly $30,000 in the below the line budget, as it is referred to, which we can then utilize to offset the vehicle maintenance and bring our budget back into line. I don't know if shift officers, you have any opinion on whether we buy one, none, or two. If you've got any input, I'd be grateful to hear that.
I would think one is plenty.
Okay.
And we have a 15. If we had one, we could either put it in command 2 or we could put it in 20. But you know, I don't think the second one in either vehicle is going to be used very often.
Anything from the board on this?
What have we been doing up till now? Do we have some old piece of equipment that we're using, or what's the present status?
Okay, Charlie, you can explain.
Okay. So Todd, we have, so they're numbered basically by age, essentially. So we have a LifePak 15, which is the newest of them, and we keep that in 21, which is our primary ambulance. And then we have two LifePak 12, which are the older ones. One we were keeping in the ambulance at Station 2, which we've kind of demobilized. And then the other LifePak 12 is in 5620, which is our backcountry ambulance. We moved, so essentially we'd be replacing the one that's in our backcountry ambulance and the one that would be in the command vehicle that we're using as a kind of a quick response vehicle.
Okay. And so the one that the older one that we would have in our backcountry vehicle doesn't do the job today?
It still functions, but it's not FDA compliant, and the manufacturer has stopped supporting it either this year or will stop supporting it next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, living on borrowed time.
Okay.
Okay, sounds like the vote there is to look at buying one for this year, and then we'll take a view on the second one in next year's budget. I'll put it in the budget, and we can have a look at it. So everybody agree with that?
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
And then the reason that I jumped forward. So we had the conversation last week about vacuum cleaners and air purifiers. I did some quick research. I sent you out some comparative quotes. The pricing is slightly different. So vacuum cleaners, less than $200, basically, for a commercial quality vacuum cleaner. I would say we just purchase one of those just so that we have something to clean the station with at this time. And then the air purifiers, there's a lot of variation sizing and pricing. But I was looking, I don't know if you've had a chance to look through those quotes, but I was looking through the quotes or looking through the specs of those. My suggestion would be whether we buy two of the Medify MA40W2s, which are a package price of $499. So they will exchange the air in a 1600 square foot room in 30 minutes. And they filter down to 0.1 microns, which is basically viral size. And my case for buying those would be COVID-19. So that we can make sure that we're exchanging the air in our training room in an efficient manner. When we're using it. Any comments or objections to that?
No.
So total basically.
No objection.
I'm still concerned about what's going to be given up. By the end of the year, aren't we going to be pretty close to $100,000 over budget?
No.
No.
Well, we're over 50 something in vehicle right now.
We are. So she has not been updated for this month, but we were 30,000 over on vehicles when I last.
But we're under in other areas, though. So.
Yeah, we're under in other areas.
Significantly?
Say again, Ray.
Significantly under?
Enough to more or less pretty close to even, but with some room to breathe. And then if we push off like the life pack and some other things, I think that will be fine.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the moment we're looking, I think 11,000 under budget. That may change a little bit because of 5617, but with pulling back the 14.5 from the life pack, I think we get ourselves the breathing room we need to get. Certainly on the air purifier side of this, it's a no-brainer for me. If we're going to do things in the building, we're trying to transition back to a normal training program where we're in the building. We need to do the air purifiers and we need to keep the station clean. So this is really just maintenance budget in that respect.
I'm in the same boat with Ray. I don't mind doing this, but I would really, next month's meeting, I would really like to have a very good idea where we are.
Yes.
Budget-wise.
That's the plan.
Yeah, yep. We will. Todd and I have seen the sheets for next month, working on them to put them in the prediction sheet. But they looked pretty good. Our property tax, we're now, I believe, slightly over budget, as in we've got more than we budgeted for. But in the other taxes, we are under budget, so kind of cancelling each other out. But we still have 3 months of income potentially to come in. I spoke to Kathy the other day, and she said it looked like it was pretty much on target for other years. So I'm feeling reasonably confident that we can make this work.
Well, that's my main concern.
I understand. It's mine too. I don't particularly want to go over budget. I think we can make it. And like I said, one of these is, I hate to pull this card, safety issue, and the other one is just a cleanliness issue and maintaining the station. And if you looked at it in that respect, we are very under budget on our station maintenance this year. So. It's the vehicle maintenance that kills us, basically. Up to you guys.
If you're comfortable and you feel we have the money, I'm, like I said, I'm okay with it, but we need to be very judicious and conservative with what money we have left.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So, do you want to put it off one more week or do we need to pull the trigger on this tonight?
I would certainly like to do the air purifiers. I sent you all an email today. About a meeting that I would like to do in person. To do that, I would feel more comfortable if we had some air exchange in the room, and then follow standard social distancing procedures and followed our COVID-19 training procedure. So air purifiers, I would push hard for. The vacuum cleaner I could sit on for a week.
Okay. And my offer still stands. I can always donate one. So if we get into a pinch.
I might take you up on that offer.
I think that's, okay, for me, no, that's problem, a reasonable compromise.
Okay. We will sort out the air purifiers at a minimum there. Okay, thank you. I know that seems a lot of work for that, but we need to do that. Speaking of money, I started looking at the 2021 budget. So my plan is to have at a minimum by next Wednesday, the what I would refer to as the lights on budget, which is everything we have to spend. And then we can start pulling in the budget cases to look at what we want to, what we know we need to buy, and then what we can afford to buy next year based on our property taxes. We will not know our property tax values until November the 13th, I believe, which is later than usual. So the more work we can do on the budget before then is good, because we won't have much time to approve it before we have to file it on December 15th. So just as an FYI, those are the deadlines that we're looking at the moment.
In worst case, we would just plan to a similar income as this year for our next year budget.
So yeah,
until we get the actual values.
For the general basis, yeah, of the budget, I'll work off of this year's income.
Okay.
And then we'll see what we get.
I would think this year is going to be real similar.
That's kind of my feel too. It's that the next year will be quite similar. So I don't see a big difference in certainly the property tax values.
2022 okay. Might be a whole different story though.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Well, not might. I think it will be.
Yeah. I wish I could see that far in the future. On the upside, we don't operate on sales taxes, which probably would have killed us. So we can at least have some idea. But yeah, as soon as we know those numbers, then we can finalize the budget. And like I said, it has to be finalized by December 15th. So that would be the December board meeting, which I think is on the 4th. I'd have to check that. So we don't have an awful lot of time between finding out how much we're going to get and finalizing that, just FYI. As part of our new narcotics policy, we need a narcotic safe. I think we spoke about this last week. I should have pushed this off. I'm basically just going to put this in the budget for next year. I don't think it's going to happen this year. Appropriate safes are in the sort of $2,000 range, and I don't think that's a place we can go at the moment. More things we need to replace, I'm afraid. Our gas sniffers, all of ours are dead, is my understanding. So we need to replace at least two of those so that our primary engines have them on. Fortunately, they are only $30 each. So $60, unless anybody has issues with that.
No.
Particularly as we're coming up to gas leak time of year. And we tend to run a lot of those calls.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Ian, is that a real number? That seems really cheap.
Yeah.
That was the number supplied to me by Ryan.
Well, that can't be one of the...
Okay.
I like that green thing we
it's
had.
It's not the four gas, no.
No, it's not the four gas. It's the...
Yeah, propane, methane, natural gas leak detector, $30. And that's the same.
That seems cheap, but if Ryan...
Is this like one of them versions that a regular plumber would carry?
Okay. It's basically these ones. So it's the
like a standard plumber.
Yeah. So we have the kind of super simple ones like this one. It's just methane propane. And then we also have the four gases, which are all fine. We don't have to do anything with those.
These probably don't have to be recalibrated.
I do not believe that the simple ones, no. And the one we have at the moment has never been calibrated. Well, the ones we have at the moment, to my knowledge, have never been calibrated.
The red ones don't need to be calibrated. It's the four gas ones that do need to be calibrated. But the, you know, the natural gas detector or whatever you want to call those, kind of helps pinpoint, you know, exactly where the leak is instead of just generally in the air.
Yeah. These are more for detecting directly on the spot.
Yes.
A coupling or fitting.
Correct. Correct.
I don't have an issue with it. I mean, you're going to use them. Like you said, you're coming into that season.
Yeah.
I mean, I would easily say that's one of our few.
No, I think we lost Charlie there, but I think he was about to say it's probably one of our more common calls in the winter, especially when people start turning
on the systems. So. That's definitely the tool that we use the most, I bet you, in the wintertime.
Yeah. Okay, all good?
All good.
Okay, we'll get them sorted. We did that. Public education policy. I sent you an email, which is a request from Little Bear for a bit of public ed. The suggestion was basically take an engine or piece of equipment to them or a school, allow walk rounds, nobody in the equipment. The feedback I had from the board was it's okay as long as we follow our COVID-19 policy, which is to be all staffs masked, maintain distancing, and the shift officer has the final say on whether yes or no. Any other opinions on that?
I don't have an issue with that. What would be the criteria under yes or no? If we have three different shift officers, we'll get three different opinions, and we would lack consistency, so we would give different schools, facilities, principals, teachers different answers. So I would like to have just, you know, one criteria. If they meet the criteria, we do the pub ed. Okay. If they don't, we don't do it. And I just don't like inconsistency based on who's on duty.
I understand that. So Ryan was okay with that policy, was the feedback I received. Charlie, do you have some info?
No, I don't really have an issue with it. Yeah, I mean, whatever needs to get done.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an outdoor thing, which makes it easier to deal with, in my opinion. I'm happy to...
I would prefer the children not be in the cabs of the trucks.
Yeah, absolutely. No. Yeah, so there's no entry into the vehicles. And walk around, have a look, but no one in the vehicles. Okay, tell you what, do... Ryan was okay with this request, and I think it was October 6th, so that's Tuesday. I would suggest we let that one happen. Meanwhile, write a policy that fills all the criteria make sure that we're all on the same page and run it past Dan as well, and just make sure that he's okay with it. And
I agree with that.
Yeah, we can also schedule it around offices that are comfortable with it and offices that are not as well. I think that's another option for this. As Ryan would say, more policies to write. He'll never live that down. I spoke to Chief Durr today on a couple of issues. I am meeting with him tomorrow. I told you that in the email I sent you, just informally to chat. He did request me for a payout of some of his vacation time. I know that this has happened in the past. There is no policy for it, which concerns me. But I don't have an issue with this request because we're building that liability for him anyway. My concern is that it's slightly unfair to the shift officers that they don't have this opportunity, but also don't want a run on the bank of everybody cashing in all of their vacation time. So, opinion.
Is this payout going to hit this year?
It is going to hit this year. He didn't say how much, but it didn't sound like he was asking for a huge amount, and we can place a limit on
okay.
it.
Okay.
Okay.
What's the limit that we would place on that?
I'd probably say $2,000. And this doesn't hit our budget this year. This would come out of the liability for vacation anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
I'm sorry, you said how much is a cap?
$2,000.
Yeah.
Okay, probably okay with that.
Yeah.
Hey, Ian, I have a question about that.
Go on.
Was your intention to put a cap on a $2,000 payout as a policy, or, you know, is that per event or per 6 months, or what are you thinking that's going to look like?
At the moment, there is no policy at all. So this is something that came up in June that we wanted to continue discussion on, but haven't had the time to do that. In answer to your question, it would probably be per year, per calendar year, would be my feel. But that would be open to discussion with the board. I know that we would like to reduce our vacation liability, and this is one way to do that. But that's a discussion for another day, really.
Okay.
Okay, if we're all okay with that. Moving on to some old business. 5617 came back from Mountain View. Charlie, what was the deal with that?
Mice.
Nice. Okay.
They had mice get into the cab, into where the computer stalled, I guess, and chewed up a bunch of wires and stuff like that. And then there were two issues that we sent it to them for. That was the first one. The second one was there was a banging going on under the doghouse, and they found that whoever was in there last with the air cleaner installed the air cleaner upside down or backwards or something like that and didn't connect it correctly, and so they repaired that. Speaking with the guy who didn't do the repairs, he said that he believed we were into it for about 7 hours, and there would just be a line item for some shop supplies, so it wasn't going to be drastic. They had their billing in at $90 an hour. That being said, they also seemed like they would love or be willing to take our agency on if we wanted to do yearly PMs with them, do like oil testing. They could do pump testing while it's down there. They charge a flat fee of $360 per truck to do a pump test on. I didn't get the impression that they're crazy busy, but they are trying to build their, let's call it a business. So, but their facility is pretty spectacular. I was truly impressed.
Yeah.
And they had good communication with me, and they kept our truck inside the entire time. So all of that is kind of a big kudos to them.
Yeah, I can see that being a bonus. Okay.
Charlie, just after the first of the year, do they have the ability to pump test in the wintertime and get that started, or?
I could call them tomorrow and find out. I didn't get the impression that they could not. I mean, their facility is pretty big, but I honestly, I didn't ask them if it was specifically for wintertime or summertime or what. Mm-hmm. But I could follow up on that with them on that.
Yeah. And do they have a mobile mechanic available?
They didn't give me the impression they did, but I can also follow up on that.
Would you find out if they do, how much they charge for the mobile mechanic hourly?
Yep, I can.
Okay, well, that's good news. That's better than it being an engine mount, which was what we thought it might be. That's good that that's back in service and back with us. Definitely interested in talking to them further about taking on our maintenance load for sure. Vehicle disposal is happening unsmoothly. Jim spent a considerable amount of time between State Patrol and the County Clerk and Recorder's Office trying to sort out titles, and basically came up completely blank. Was unable to title any of those vehicles. However, both buyers said they would take them without title in the end. So that's good news. So the old Jeep should go next week, I think. No, the old Jeep should go this week and the old yellow engine should go next week. We had an agreement for both of those. So that's some good news on that. For hose testing, everybody's booked out for the rest of this year, so we're going to have to push that into next year anyway. So that's a non-conversation. Ryan was checking if we could get pump testing done, but it looks like we can also talk to Mountain View about that as well. So that conversation continues because we'd still get the ISO credit for the year for doing that.
And Ian, I said that I would be willing to assist with hose testing if we decided we were going to do it in-house.
Okay.
For to help us get our credit and get kind of on the right track.
Okay, I'll talk to you more about that and we'll see if we can rustle up some volunteers who might want to do that.
Okay.
We all know what a fun job it is. I'm fairly sure.
Yeah, I just don't
out of town that weekend.
I just don't want to lose the ability to get credits for the year if we're pushing toward, you know, trying to push towards a, you know, whatever the ISO rating is or a change is.
I do agree with you. If we can make it happen, that'd be fabulous. And I appreciate we're kind of running a little bit out of time with the weather, but we're reaching unpredictable time of year. So let's see what we can do with that. Our COVID grant application was denied because Apparently thermometers are not PPE, FYI. I believe that there's a second opportunity to apply for that because there were some other irregularities in the grant application process. Ryan is trying to work through that to see if we can reapply and see if we can offset some of our COVID costs. So that always helped. The concealed weapon policy, I'm going to suggest we push that to next week's board meeting when all five board members are on, and we can discuss that. It's not super urgent. I know that Todd, I, and Ray discussed it last week. I had a discussion with Patrick on his opinions. So I'd like to hear Henry's opinions, and then we can move forward and look at the guidelines and how we think that may work, could work, and just making sure that we stay within statute on implementing that. Any other comments on the old business? Okay. Any further public comments based on the information that we went through in this meeting? Take that as a no. Board members, any other business from you?
No, not from me.
No.
Okay. We have no special executive session. There are no conclusions from that. The next board meeting will be October the 7th, 2020, which is a regular board meeting. I'll issue the agenda for that. Actually, I do have one other thing. The new website, Dan and I are hoping to bring that online this week, towards the end of this week. So it will be ready for next week's board meeting. Dan's done a huge amount of work transferring over all of our material from our old website. We actually beat the supplier to doing it. So we just...
Oh, that's awesome.
Sometimes too efficient. But I will tell you, it's a lot easier to deal with. We can upload the agendas and the meeting recordings and the minutes just in seconds. So I think it's going to prove to be worthwhile. On that note, I'm going to make the motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second.
Right?
Yes.
And Todd?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Meeting adjourned at 20:04. Hang on.
Good night.
Having 2 minutes. I think that's a record.
Have a good night, guys.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. I'll talk to you all soon.
Okay. Bye.